The point is, he's made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is the legal position of things. But just because it's the legal position of things does not mean that it is the evident reality. And what sons are supposed to do, are we together? Is to take that reality and manifest it on the earth. But in their desire to manifest it on the earth, they will come across contention and friction. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The wrestling is not legal. We are superior, but there is resistance. So here is the point now. So what is the point of prayer? Prayer is how we advance this cause. To be able to carry out some of the things that you need to do. So for example, when it comes to persistence and importunity, if you don't pray the prayer of edification, you will lack stamina for longevity. What is affecting our lack of importunity is the fact that we are not built spiritually to last that long. Come on, somebody. All right. So that means that that thing that you're giving up is a test of your spiritual stamina. Is that you're not, we are not yet built to handle that level of waiting. He said to Moses, he says, build me a tabernacle so that I can dwell in the midst of the people. So what was the purpose of the tabernacle? For God's dwelling. You see that? That was the design. That was why he designed the tabernacle, so that he could find in their midst the opportunity to dwell amongst them. Not visit them. Not that they visit him, but that he resides.
Say, Holy Ghost, quicken us. Say, Holy Ghost, energize us. Say, Holy Ghost, strengthen us. Shall we lift up our voices and pray? Energize us. Energize us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Let's be seated for a few minutes. Let me share some things with us. Good evening, everybody. Are we in the house this evening? We thank God it's Friday. You did so well to navigate the week and school of prayer with work. Appreciate one another. Put your hands together. You've done so well. Well done. Well done, everybody. Well done. Okay, we want to pray tonight, but I want to quickly share some things. How many of us have been flowing with the revelation of the Spirit at school of prayer? Yeah, yesterday the Lord spoke to us about heirship and we settled some things. And we're going to see the results of those things. Tonight, I want to quickly touch on the subject Zoe. And we want to use that to pray. The purpose of this school of prayer really has been to consider the subject of the... I'm enjoying your playing, David. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Let's appreciate David. Let's appreciate. And the worship team. Let's appreciate the worship team. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to really touch on these things. The purpose of this school of prayer, we've been exploring the key concept of the fatherhood of God. Someone say the fatherhood of God. And online family, good evening as well. God bless you. The fatherhood of God. And I want to explain to us the concept behind what we're doing in the school of prayer. Our first season this year was the dynamics of prayer. And the purpose of that was to expand our... it's a school. You see what I'm saying? Okay, it's a school. Was to expand our understanding to the fact that prayer is diverse in operations. Prayer is diverse. In the first season of our school of prayer this year, we liken prayer to like something like sports. We said that sports requires physical energy, but all sports are not the same, even though it can be generically categorized as sports. So depending on the type of sports that you're doing, all right, the rules of engagement for each sport differs. Does that make sense? So even though running is included in basketball, running is included in football, the rules of engagement for basketball and football are different. Okay, what you would do in football, if you take it to basketball, you'll be penalized. And the same thing vice versa. Now, the point here is not to say God will penalize us. I'm just trying to say that for us to pray effectively, we have to understand the genres of prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's what we covered. So that was important for us to open our minds. It's a system. It's a system. Yeah, that was important so that we could open our minds to this journey of understanding prayer. I know that we are somewhat exposed to prayer in one way or the other, and there's a lot of things that we have learned that God is going to use, but there are things that we must unlearn as well. Does that make sense? We acknowledge the things that have been learned, the things we must unlearn. The last season of School of Prayer in July, we dealt with the subject of consecration. Where did we get that from? Because I want to show you the curriculum. Hallowed be your name. So we dealt with the subject of consecration. Now, this School of Prayer, we're dealing with the subject of the fatherhood of God. So we're breaking Matthew 6 down. The next School of Prayer, we're dealing with the kingdom. Okay, the excitement. Do you see what I'm saying? All right, we're dealing with the kingdom. And the dates will be shared tomorrow. So we're dealing, we're focusing on the kingdom. Your kingdom come. So can you see, it's a curriculum. Does that make sense? All right, so the purpose of this particular School of Prayer is to really help us understand the centrality of the revelation of the Father in terms of prayer. Because it's not just, prayer is not just about what we say. It has to do with who we are addressing. Come on, did he hear that? Prayer is not just about what I say. In the culture that I was brought up in, we didn't really care about who we were addressing. We cared about our prayer point and our prayer list. We didn't really care. And the truth of the matter is that, I think I've been trying to say something this week. I think a good way to say it is that prayer is not prayer until it is fellowship. Did you hear what I said? Prayer is not prayer. That some of the things that we call prayer sometimes from the viewpoint of God is not prayer. It's something else. I don't know what name to give it. Okay, you can find a name, you can find a phrase for it. But prayer is not prayer until it has to do with the one that we are addressing. Interestingly, in the model that Jesus gave, prayer does not begin with my request. Are we here tonight? Right, in the model that Jesus gave, prayer does not begin with me. It doesn't begin with my request. It begins with the acknowledgement of the one that I am praying to. So that means, in all honesty, prayer is about him. So that means then that if I am praying effectively, I spend most of prayer on him. Yeah, if I'm praying, if I understand what prayer really is, most of prayer should be my interaction with him, my concern. My needs in Matthew 6, they are not discussed until Jesus says, give us our daily bread. Does that make sense? So I must begin to understand that even though at a very basic level, my need can draw me to the place of prayer, my motive has to change. Come on, are we here tonight? Okay, so that's what we've been doing in this school. We've been studying the importance and praying alongside the importance of the fatherhood of God in prayer. And tonight I want to touch something that I feel is very vital as we continue to act on some of the things the Lord taught us yesterday. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 from verses 1 to 5. It's a Friday night, so now we don't have pressure. Okay, there's no pressure. No one's going anywhere. No one's chasing you, basically. So it's a Friday night. We should be free. Amen. And even if you finish late, you still find something on Uber Eats. So put your mind at rest. I can tell you that because all the all nights we had, I had food afterwards. So Uber Eats was still open. You're acting like you didn't do the same. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verses 1 to 4. Okay. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 1, I could open a whole series on that one. He said, you have to understand why he's saying that. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. They are walking with God. They are experiencing God in many, many ways, it's important that he lets the believers know that the faith that we receive is the same faith that you receive. Does that make sense? Someone say faith of equal standing with ours. Yeah. Verse 2 says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, now, his divine power. This is key. I want you to really, really focus on this part. It says, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and excellence. There's something about the knowledge of God. Verse 4, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers. Someone say partakers. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers. Someone say partakers. Of the divine nature. Wow. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Yesterday we started looking at the subject of heirship, and we talked about the fact that one of the things that is a regulator of our faith in God is God's oath. Okay. Is God's oath concerning God's promises. In other words, God, the Bible says that God swore an oath to Abraham, not just for Abraham, but to show the heirs of the promise, to convince them. And we learned that the oath for confirmation is the end of what? Come on, talk back to me, family. The oath for confirmation is the end of all. How many of us believe that we ended some strife yesterday? How many of you believe that? Yeah. Yeah. So we started looking yesterday at this issue of God's promises, the oath of God. I want to lift up from there, because the Bible says something so interesting here in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. It says that he has granted us precious and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. In other words, the roadmap that the promise of God brings us into, or the route that it takes us into, is the place that lands us in partaking of God's nature. So that means every promise of God is intentionally crafted by God to bring me to the place where I know him, one, and I am like him. I partake like him. So that means that there is no promise of God that will take me outside of the nature of God. Now, that's interesting, because some people will be like, I heard the voice of God concerning this and that. When you now analyze the details of the voice of God they heard, it's contrary to the nature of God. Someone say, every promise of God. Someone shout me, say, every promise of God is designed to make me, is designed to cause me to function as a partaker of his divine nature. I will explain what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature. But look at that other verse. It says, haven't escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So what we learn from there is that the promises of God and the sinful desires of this world and the corruption of this world are opposite ends. Does that make sense? So that the more that I genuinely, intentionally, sincerely pursue the promises of God, it becomes a shield against the corruption that's in this world. The promises of God are not just designed to make me feel good. Does that make sense? The promises of God are not just designed to satisfy me. Satisfaction from God's standpoint is that I become like him. In the beginning, God's original design, I've taught this several, I don't want to overlabor the point, but I remember I was on a live. I don't want to misbehave. I want to stay on my lane tonight, but there's a certain group, a certain people that have misunderstood and abused the whole concept of what dominion really means. So I was on one of their lives, David, and this person said that the purpose of man is dominion. The purpose of, I disagree. The purpose of man is not dominion. The purpose of man is to image God. The assignment of man is to exercise dominion in imaging God. We have to understand the purpose. We have to understand the assignment. Does that make sense? The purpose, the essence, the calling of man is to image God. Dominion practice outside imaging God is dangerous and toxic. Every time we take, okay, it's like, for example, you know, headship in marriage. Does that headship in marriage? Okay, if a man is a head not according to the design of scriptures, it's a full day. It's problematic. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The purpose of man is to image God. I see a lot of us in this generation making that mistake, and we become entitled, we become arrogant. Does that make sense? We even want to dominate other Christians, want to lord it over Christians. No, the purpose of man is firstly to what? Someone shout to image God. So that means that the whole thing about being God's hair is being his hair. It's not about having things. Does that make sense? The results that we get in prayer, they're just a product of what comes with that level. This is why in Matthew 6, when Jesus was teaching us about prayer, he was just trying to say, there is no point you chasing things that will naturally come to you when you move the way you're supposed to move. That's all. Come on, are we together? Are we flowing? Are we here? Are we hungry? Okay, can we ask the Holy Ghost to increase our capacity again? Can we ask him, say, Holy Spirit, increase our capacity. Say, Holy Spirit, take us further. Say, Holy Ghost, apart from you, we can do nothing. Energize us again, strengthen us again, open our hearts again, open our minds again, quicken us again. Shall we lift up our voices and pray? Yeah, we can only do it through the Spirit. We can only do it through the Spirit. Shaka baka vazi anda brakete dede. Like ben sovagide anda braske vande beriasku banana namaya. Lakabansi bededi akosa bradadaba. 30 seconds more. Makomba teria katanda bakete yanda balls. Open our understanding. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. From God's perspective, all he's trying to do is to cause us to be partakers of his nature. That's all he wants to do with the promise. All that God ever wants for us in this life is to be like him. What a vision. Right? God, what is your will for me? To be like me. God, what is my purpose? Now, there may be specific ways in which he wants us to do that, but the centrality of the matter is this. So the word shows us that one of the ways that God does that is by giving us great and exceeding promises. The word partakers of the divine nature is a very interesting word. That word itself sounds powerful when you study it, because you think partakers, then you think all, when you think divine nature, someone say divine nature. Okay, now when you really do the word studies and you break it down, okay, it goes along these lines. It is, watch this now, it is associates. Now, someone say associates. But let me explain what I mean by associates. Before I say this, because we must balance our theology, there is no one like the Lord. Right? There is none that can, God has no equal. In fact, God doesn't have opposite. In his league, there's no opposite. Does that make sense? God has no comparison. God is outstanding in every regard. He is uncreated. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. Does that make sense? He is incorruptible. There is no, listen, he is life. He is not just the source of life. He is life, right? He is in a league all by himself. Concerning the preeminence of Jesus, when we study in the book of Colossians, the Bible says that in all things, he is first in rank. The word says that without him, in the book of John, nothing was made that has been made. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So God is in a league all by himself. The uncreated eternal God, the ancient of days, the one that controls time in his hands, he cannot be compared in any way, in any regard. That is a vital lesson. So having said that, when we use the word associate, I want us to be very careful. We are not saying that we are co-equal with God. That will be that, in fact, that shouldn't exist. Right, we're not saying that we are co-equal with God. That's impossible. But in the mercy of God for us, in the love of God for us, a love that you cannot really tell why, and a love that cannot be explained. Sometimes I was saying to Lady B that I've spoken about David a lot this week because we're doing sonship, my boy. Basically, sometimes I look and I say, I'm just proud of you. He didn't do anything. I'm just proud of you. Today, he wanted some money. I said, let me give you extra just because. Yeah, I was like, just because. Did you see that spoiling? No. Don't worry. The older I get, the softer I'm becoming. It will happen to you too. Don't worry. You will do all your gra-gra at the beginning. Relax. It's coming for you. Don't leave you there. Don't worry. It's coming. We'll be here. Uncle Apostle, remember me. You'll be soft. They soften you. And you'll understand the kind of love that it's a supernatural love. The love between a father and a son, between a parent and their child. It's a super, except everything is not correct. So God in his love, in his, this love that cannot be explained, I don't know why he would create and then bring us into a realm that we could never qualify for. Not these partakers, are we still here? Can we still go a little further? You see, these partakers of the divine nature, there is nothing we could have done in our strength to earn it. There is no exam we could have. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, some of us, we're good at, you can write exams. If they give you an exam tomorrow, you cram everything, deliver tomorrow. This, I know. But listen, there is no exam. There is no reading. There is no degree. There is no qualification. There is no doctorate. Does that make sense? There is nothing that we could have done to attain and to qualify for what I'm about to talk about. But the Bible says this, that he has given us great and precious promises that we might be called partakers of the divine nature. The rendition there is these words. It's associate of the God kind. Associates of the God kind. Please, that's why, remember, we qualified who God is. There is nobody in God's league. Okay? So when we use associate of the God kind here, okay, the way to explain it is this, right? When we use the word mankind, you understand that we're talking about humanity, right? When we use the word God kind, we're talking about divinity. It's also like saying, that we are associates of the God class. Not because we are God. But this is why do you see what I'm saying? This is why I qualified everything. That this is not about, this is about grace. This is about mercy. This is what causes you to wonder. No wonder in 1 John 3, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father has what bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. He says, we don't know exactly what we will look like, but this we know, when he appears, we shall be like him. Oh, come on, somebody. What hope? Does that make sense? What hope? When he appears, we will be like him. Wow. Associates of the God kind. To be God's heir is to be an associate. Yeah. I've been trying to explain this thing to the body. You know, we go, I'm a child of God. A son of God is not a cuddly little, you know, like, a, you know, you say, oh, a son of God. No, there is so much on the head of a son. So much on the head of a son. A son is God's associate. Woo. Right. A son is God. And I showed you Abraham yesterday. That relationship between God and Abraham, where God and Abraham got to a point that when God wanted to destroy Sodom, he said, I can't do such a thing without letting Abraham know. That's an associate. It's human beings that struggle with giving people power. God doesn't struggle. In fact, one of the ways that God reveals his excellences is by exalting others. Before his throne, there are other thrones. Let's not open Revelation now. Yeah. One of the things that demonstrates the excellency of his nature, he's not an insecure God. He's not an insecure leader. He is into the business of enthroning his people, yet his throne cannot be competed with. Someone say associates of the God kind. So the simplicity here is that the prompt, please now stay with me. See, that is why God is training us to deny worldly lust. Does that make sense? You have to understand, in any difficult situation, in any temptation, in any trying season, you must understand your value to go through it. Yeah. You don't endure for enduring sake. You must understand, are we still here? You must understand who you are in the self. That's why in Romans chapter, still stay with 2 Peter chapter, you're used to me now, okay? That's why in Romans chapter 8, when Paul was talking about, you know, he says, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. He's trying to tell you that you're going to suffer, but not because the theology on suffering today in the church is very discouraging. The apostles, they wanted to suffer. How can you make suffering an objective? Today, if you ask any believer, what are your goals? Yeah, move to Dubai in 3 years. And there are jokes I don't want to stand in the room, but there's some people in the room, every time I told them that we're going to go to Nigeria for missions, they've never been to Nigeria. Don't walk them out, just leave them. They've never been to, every time I go to Nigeria for missions, they don't whisper, they'll find you out. They always say, But then the other day when Apostle Ben was around and he talked about us coming to the US, they were like, we're coming. If you have prophetic grace, find them out. Find them out. Paul deals with the issue of suffering, and he wants you to know that part of the curriculum for developing God's hair is to suffer. And that suffering is about training your nature not to like the things that will compromise you. Because it's easy to have inheritance and to be careless like Esau. Hello, someone. Are you hearing me? It's easy to have inheritance and to be careless like Esau. So part of what God does is that he uses suffering. And this suffering is not trepidation. It's not, what other word can I find it? Because the people that told us to suffer, they scared us. They really scared us. Christian suffering, when you understand, it's like you set out, and you go, okay, by this time next year, you know, I want to lose some weight. All right. So you decide to go to the gym. And you know that a lot of people pay tithe to the gym. They don't go. Let's not begin that. This is what I'm saying. A lot of your tithe is in the gym. if you look at how many times, don't look at me strange. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Okay. So you start going to the gym. You make lifestyle changes. Okay, this is what you're going to eat.
Does that, that's the most difficult. We all gym, everybody can do that. To change what you're going to eat. Right? That one is the one. Please pray for me. Something called bubble teas is trying to take over my life. Say out in Jesus' name. Out, out. Especially when Michelle introduced us to the taro. What's it called? That one is dangerous. Dangerous. Yeah. Some of us, we now have shares in bubble tea. Please pray for the apostle. It's nice. You should visit it. I don't work for them. Okay, but here is the point. The point is that you begin to make certain lifestyle choices. See, you suffer when you make those decisions. But that suffering is not destructive suffering. It's not destroying you. Right? The suffering that the believer goes through does not destroy them. It molds them. It molds the believer. I remember when I went on a mini weight loss journey. And when I started taking it, what happened was, during lockdown, there's this place, I shouldn't mention the names of these places because they're not good, but confess your faults one to another, they may be healed. It's called Cake Box. You don't even know Cake Box. They do cakes that are not godly. So we ate Cake Box so much. One day, we just said, let's test our blood pressure. And I said, okay, I have an assignment. So from that day, I decided I'm going to start walking. So I started building it. I started with 5,000 steps a day. You know, some people are funny. You haven't done any exercise. You now want to do the extreme. Don't deceive yourself. So I started with 5,000 steps a day. Gradually went to 10,000 steps a day. I remember there was this day I was walking. I decided to walk and it started raining. This was when I knew I was serious. It started raining. I know me, I don't, umbrella is extra work because when you want to rapture, you now be Jesus way, you know. I'm joking, don't take me seriously. If you buy me branded umbrellas, I'll use it. All right, so the day I knew I was serious was the day where it was raining. I left the house, it started raining, and I put my head in that rain and I said, I'm going to walk today. I was soaking. I was wet. I had a target. I think I wanted to hit 10,000 steps or 15,000. I hit it. It was when I hit it and did some extra. Then I went home. Okay. Some people may say that's not wise, but I have results. I said I have results. This is what I'm saying. I have results. It was wise for my mentality. See, that was when I started hitting 20,000 steps. Because there was a time I went to play football with Johnson and the guys. Oh, Lord. I was this guy that I could play football for 5 hours. Every 10 minutes, I took a break. every 10 minutes, I took a break. I still had the touches, the skills. If you know, you know. This is what I'm saying. But that fitness. So I had to work on it. And in the process of working, Lady B now joined forces, all kinds of smoothies. Maybe that's where my ministry of smoothie came from. Every kind, green smoothie became my food at some point. Right? Then I had to cut juice out. God help me now. I'm saying that there were decisions I had to make. They were inconvenient, but they were not destructive. Does that make sense? That's the kind of Christian suffering. It's the suffering that's beneficial. Actually, can I be honest with you? The Christian suffering is not so much of you being a victim. That's not any, please hear me. Any suffering where you are the victim is most likely Satan. You have to be careful what Christian suffering is. The Christian suffering is not, you're a victim, That one might be the fact that you haven't understood how to use your authority. The Christian suffering is God cooperating with you so that in due season, he can progress and promote you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why Paul could give account of his suffering. It wasn't something, he said, persecuted but not abandoned. He didn't say persecuted but not know what, I don't know what's happening. Come on, are we in the house? Okay, pressing, but struck down but not destroyed, always pressed on every side, caring about the dyings of Christ in our body, that the life of, do you see what I'm saying? They knew the gain of their suffering. Any suffering where you don't know the gain is dangerous to continue. Dangerous, decline. Say in the name of Jesus, I decline every harassment from the adversary masquerading itself as suffering for the cause of God. Can we pray that for 30 seconds? In the name of Jesus, I decline. You have the right to decline.
Yeah, the power of God is in this place. You have the right to decline. In the name of Jesus, I refuse. I refuse. I exercise my authority in Christ. I exercise my choice in Christ in the earth realm. And I refuse everything that's designing itself and coming across like it's God's dealings with me. But really, it's the enemy taking opportunity. Say in the name of Jesus, I refuse. Say in the name of Jesus, I decline. We're still going to pray. Are we still here? Are we still stirred? Okay. So that's the Christian suffering. And it's a part of headship. It is the place where you begin to, on purpose, exercise choices to put yourself in conditions that are healthy for you. That's a Christian suffering. When it comes to the Christian suffering, you're a part of what God is doing. God doesn't do it to you. Please hear this. He doesn't do it. You're a part. You're involved. You're included. It's like a training program. In Galatians 4, remember the scripture, the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, but he's put under tutors and administrators and governors until the time appointed by the father. Yeah, there are systems that teach us how to reign. Someone say partakers of the divine nature. Yeah, there are systems that teach us how to reign. And in those, some of you suffered to end your degree. Do you see what I'm saying to you? You drank coffee and Red Bull. God have mercy on you together. All of it together. does that make sense? And then now you're buzzing. Your voice is loud. Right? Okay. You suffered. There were nights that you went through it. But you chose that path. Do you see that? You chose that path. And this is the thing. The reality is that you had other options in life. You could have left the degree. You could have left the masters. Someone said never. That's the African mentality. I'm telling you, what would I say to my parents? I left. I left. All right. I'm just trying to help you understand that suffering. So every promise of God brings conditions. It's a joyful restraint. When we mature, it's a joyful restraint. You start putting, okay, I'll give you an example. An example is this, is one of the things that, one of my trainings by the Spirit of God, some of you may not know this, is that when I go and preach outside, I don't negotiate money. There are some people, they have 10,000 forms. They will ask you for first class, second class, business class, honorarium. Does that make sense? Hotel, pick up. That's why, you know what? I like conferences, but I can tell you this. Conferences can hurt local churches. Because all the money you should use to improve your people, you will spend it on guest speakers that wouldn't even come when you're in trouble. But let's not start that one. Don't say wow, because I will enter into something. Okay, so I started to learn, you see, by God's training, when it comes to, when people invite me to places, I don't ask them. You'll be shocked. I don't even ask them for travel fare. I'm not saying this to boast. Now, but that doesn't mean that I haven't suffered inconvenience. If I tell you about inconvenience, some people stood the other day, they said, oh, we went to sing, they gave us biscuits. Congrats. They were complaining that they gave them biscuits. And they said they gave them spaghetti. And that they've gave you something. Jesus already gave his life. That's enough. But it doesn't mean that I haven't suffered inconvenience. I remember there was a time I went to preach in some far place. I got there, they just gave me water. You know, some ministers say, we'll die just because they gave you water. Right? So there are things you're now a part of. You're part of this. Is partakers of the divine nature means you must deny the world. Are you hearing me? It means you must do it consciously. You have to put yourself in certain conditions that don't spoil you because of your inheritance. Yeah, they don't spoil you because you're too conscious. My spiritual mom, she said something to me many years ago. My spiritual dad, you know, is going to be with the Lord. She said to me, my spiritual dad always wanted to do things for her. She said that I tell him that don't spoil me. She received the thing she received, but she was like, don't spoil, because if you are not here, how would I do it? There are conditions you put, because I told you that being God's heir is about responsibility. You know, all these songs we sing, we should stop them. Abraham's blessings are mine. Do you know what Abraham had to do? Abraham's blessings are yours. You have to live responsibly. Are we communicating? Is this making sense? I'm just trying to show you this. The Bible says he has, because the reason why we live, there's a motive for why we live the way we live. It is because we're partakers of the divine nature. And there are things God has put on our way to train us to be honest with you, to be honest with you. Let me just say it as it is. You know, sometimes when you see like ministers and leaders and they have some dramatic fall. I use the word dramatic. Like everything comes out kind of fall exploded. If I'm being honest with you, a lot of those things happen because they skip curriculums, they skip lessons. The Holy Ghost can never train you to a place where you don't, if by the time he's sending you, hate the world. Not in the sense that you hate people. I mean, you hate worldliness. There's a hate because of the panel beating. You know what it means to panel beat something? Because of the way that he shapes you. Yeah. There are some things that you don't, one of those things, especially if he has really, are we still listening? Especially if he's really graced you with influence, he will first starve you of that influence. He will first start to the point that you're free of it. I was discussing something with Lady B and Pastor Sino on our way and Cynthia. I don't want to get into all of that, but this drunk people are drunk on influence. You can't even cough without going on Instagram. So he will train you. You see, to be God's heir, there are steps that allow us to walk in it. So we say these things casually, and then we don't understand that all that God is trying to do is to make us associates of the God kind. Are we still together? Are we making sense so far? Because we want to pray in that light soon. So, what does it mean then to be an associate of the God kind? One of those things is that we become sharers of God's life. Someone say sharers of the life of God. Now that itself sounds very big and complex, because how can you share in God's life? The question is, what is the life of God? When we use that word Zoe is often used to describe, in many cases, life from a spiritual standpoint. All right, there is another word for describing life is bios. And that's describing life from a biological standpoint. But Zoe is used to describe life from a spiritual standpoint. So the question is then, is what are the attributes of God's life? Are we still here? Okay, number one, the first attribute of the life of God is immortality. Someone shout immortality. Someone shout immortality. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. It says, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wow. Someone shout immortality. Yeah. The life of God is about immortality. And the Bible says that one of the things that Jesus did with the gospel was that he abolished death and he brought immortality. Immortality. And by immortality here, we're not just talking about the state of continuing. Those who continue here will also continue. Does that make sense? It's not just the state of continuing. It's continuity with everything quality preserved. Does that make sense? So for example, God is immortal. He has never aged. Does that make sense? God is immortal. He has never aged. Okay, the second one. Are we still here? The second thing about the life of God is this. Is Zoe is that which is devoid of corruption. This is important. That means corruption is absent. In fact, one of the reasons why God is the way is because there is no corruption in him. When we understand spiritual things, when we understand spiritual things, there are some things the scriptures highlight and we think, oh, these things are not very important. So for example, things like the state of our heart. You wouldn't understand that things like malice, hatred, they are spiritual cancers. They are spiritual cancers. They breed corruption in the human heart. Right? Zoe is that which is devoid of corruption. There is no corruption. There is no corruption in God. In James chapter 1, James says it this way. He says, he was talking about temptation. He said, let no man say I'm tempted of God. He says, God does not tempt anybody. Then he now says that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And he says it's from the Father of lights, not just light, lights, degrees of light. Aye. The Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning, and there is no, so it's not like today he chooses, I'm going to be different. No. His nature is eternally fixed. There is no corruption. So when we understand, I'm saying all of this because, okay, the third one, because let me come. The third one is this, is that Zoe is the vitalization of God. It's the God dynamic. It's the Zoe. The life of God is not theoretical. Does that make sense? The life of God is not theoretical. Zoe is that vitalization of God. It's that God dynamic. It's that God factor. It's that God tangibility. It is such that. Okay, how many of us believe that we have received life in Christ? You see, that life is a tangible, living reality in us. So when Jesus is saying, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters, it's not just a metaphor. In what Jesus says, he's saying is that out of you shall flow virtue, variety of life. Okay, let me give this one of my classic examples. I say this every time. There was a time that Paul escaped a shipwreck. When he came out of this shipwreck, I just want to show you the practicality in scripture. Are we here? When he came out of this shipwreck, the Bible says that he lit a fire, and then a venomous snake came out of it and fastened its hand and bit him. So the people that saw him escape the shipwreck, they're like, this guy, you're very unlucky. You first escaped the shipwreck. Now, when someone said they're following you, right? You first, and then now a snake beat you. So they were looking at him. And as they kept looking at him, he didn't die. Nothing happened to him. And they changed their minds and said, you're a God. Now, Paul, of course, fixed that. You know, when you read scriptures like that, you have to ask yourself, why didn't Paul die? Why did he not fall sick? Is it that snake, did they remove the venom before? No. There's a reason for that. The life of God. Someone shout the life. Do you see where I'm going? Yeah. the life of God. Adam. I say this a lot, but let me repeat it to you, Aaron. Adam, God said to him, the day you eat of the fruit of this tree, you shall surely die. It took death about 900, isn't 900 something years? For to wear Adam out. Before he finally ended up in that clay, the vitalization of the breath of God in him. How can you say you die, live 900 years? He's lived. But the real death there was the fact that he was cut off from life. Who is God? But you see that thing that he possessed, that thing that he possessed, before death could finally wear him out, it took years. Yeah, Zoe is the vitalization of God. The last one I'll give you on this one is, Zoe is the currency and the economy of God. Let me explain what I mean by the currency and the economy of God. Life is everything that God does. Ooh, did someone get that? Yeah, life is everything. There is no death in God. There is no death in his presence. Everything. Let me explain what I mean by life, please. Life is not time. Did you hear what I said? People say, I'm alive. No. The only people that are alive are those that have received Christ. But they are in time. Did you get the difference? You can be in time but not be alive. To be alive is to know life who is Christ. I was trying to say something before that. Yeah, Zoe is a current here. I was saying that there is no death in God. There is nothing that God does that has death in it. Because he's life. There is nothing dies in his presence. Nothing dies in his presence. When you look at the throne of God, and life in that sense is functionality. You see that? Yeah. Life, death is decay. It's not the cessation of time. Are you hearing the things I'm saying tonight by the Spirit? Right. Death is not just the cessation of time. Yeah, it's decay. So death can be at work in a system, in a country, in a nation, in a family, does that make sense? Because things are decaying. They're not functioning the way they're supposed to function. That's death. Are you processing it? Right? But Zoe is the currency and the economy of God. It's everything that God does. His word is Zoe. His spirit is life. Does that make sense? Everything about him is life. If you meet Jesus by encounter, his smile is life. His eyes is life. His silence is life. If you meet Jesus and he's silent, it's still life. Yeah, everything, there is no simple part of God. So to be a partaker of the divine nature is to be a sharer of the life of God. It's to be what? A sharer of the life of God. To be a heir of God is to share in God's life. This is the privilege. The privilege of eternal life is not so much of life to come. It's not so much of life to come. That's a dimension, but that's not the reality of eternal life. Eternal life. Some people, to help us understand it, have distinguished between eternal life and everlasting life. But eternal life, the word eternal can only be attributed to God, not time. Oh, come on. So are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you tired? Okay. Right. The word eternal is eternal because God is in it. If God is not in it, it's not eternal. Nothing can be eternal of its own will. So the beauty of eternal life
is that it is the God life, the God kind of life, the God quality. When Jesus was defining eternal life, I think in John 17, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom you have, Jesus your son whom you have sent. That means the knowing of God is eternal life. Woo! To know God is to know life. To know God is to know life. To know God is to, this is the gospel. This is, some people are waiting for another dimension. I want to know God and I want to know life now. Jesus had to correct Martha when Lazarus died, because these things are affecting the church. Lazarus died and his sister said, you know, Jesus, I know if you were here, you would have raised him from the dead. But I know he will rise again at the resurrection. Jesus said, Jesus was talking about, yes, you know, we understand that there is kingdom to come. We mustn't make this mistake. There is the fullness of the kingdom to come. But what God doesn't want to do is leave us impoverished here and then suddenly surprise us on the other side. There is no joy in that. What he wants to do is blow our minds here and blow our minds forever. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What he wants to do is, the hope of the Christian is a vibrant hope. It's not a sluggish hope. You know, because some people don't want to enter into heaven. It's a struggle. Just put your head in. Second Peter 1 says, and it says, an entrance shall be ministered abundantly into the kingdom. Oh. Does that make sense? You know what I'm believing God for? That by the time the Lord returns, the church will live large. Large. What I mean large, I'm not talking about cars and houses. Those things are the cheapest things that God can give a person. I tell you, you don't need prayer for it. You don't need prayer for it. Trust me. Those things are cheap. God gives it even to the unsaved. That's why it's terrible to wake up in the morning claiming car. What a shame. What a sham. What a shambles. Because this has become, does that make sense? Your reason for waking up, the witches in my father's house, the witches have more composure than you. They have more, you're not sure who knows God. You remember my question I had on School of Prayer about when do you pray? They said it's better to pray at this time. According to what continent? Theology is modeled around devils. You don't wake up at night to pray because God speaks at that time. You wake up at night to pray because Satan works at that time. Can you see? Is that how heirs of God function? Is that how the heirs of God? I'm not talking about being ignorant of the devil. You know we don't believe in that. But how can that be your motivation? So there are people in prayer meetings, slaves of the devil. Don't look at me strange. It's the reality. The reason why they are praying is not because they are sons of God trying to find out the agenda of God. Does that make sense? It's because they are slaves of the devil running to God to deliver them from who Jesus delivered them from already. Are we still here? Am I making sense? Yeah. Let's shake the table, remove the remaining legs of the table so Jesus can be glorified. Wow. Someone says Zoe. Yeah, Zoe. The life of God, the God dynamic at work. So essentially, right, to be a partaker of the divine nature is to be a sharer of God's life. And that life is tangible. It's tangible. It's tangible. Don't make the mistake and think that life is just futuristic. Don't make the mistake. There is a futuristic experience, but if you haven't had the now experience, how do you even build up? Does that make sense? The Christian walk is a consummated walk. In other words, it starts, it grows, it evolves, and then it reaches a climax and continues to reach. Oh, you know what I believe? By the time the Lord returns, I will begin to see things in, what's this now, 8K, when we can see things the way that the church would have lived below the privileges of Christ, I think that will be one of the biggest regrets. I think so. That would be one of our, that everything we could have done with the gospel. Everything we could have done with the gospel. So, let me put this here this way. So, where does prayer come into this? When we study 1 John begins to tell us that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? And then he tells us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we walk in the light as He is the light, okay, He is in the light, we are also called to walk in the light, to walk in Him. All right? And in walking with Him, right, prayer comes in. Okay? Because prayer is that communion. Do you see that? Prayer is first and foremost that communion. Please hear me by the Spirit of God. Prayer is first and foremost. I'm saying this because in the quarters I grew up in, we prayed a lot. Prayer is a natural resource. David, every Friday vigil. I don't think I missed more than two. We prayed a lot. But I wish we spent a lot of time understanding what prayer really was, so I could have prayed effectively. We say this not to boast. We're learning. Amen. That's why we have the school, isn't it? Okay? So what then is prayer? Is communing in the life of God. That's what it is. Right? Prayer. So when you say, scriptures, I pray without ceasing. How is that possible? How is it possible to pray without ceasing? Okay. Don't take it personal. So don't take it personal. It's not prayer until it leaves your room of devotion and it goes with you all day. It's not yet prayer. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you. You know, every time we say this, we go, oh, grace. Listen to me. Don't deceive yourself. It's not yet the full potential of prayer when it's just restricted to my 2 hours every morning. That's not the full potential of prayer. We are called to live in prayer. We are called to live. And someone says, oh, but how can I do this? No, you do it well because you listen to three conversations at the same time. Someone surrounds you, talking, another person, and you pick everybody's conversation and you're able to relate perfectly. It's called multitasking. We can also develop a level of sensitivity to God where we have codes with God in the midst of the crowd. For example, now if I want to talk to Lady B right now without opening my mouth, there are ways that I can talk. There are ways that she understands if I begin to point in a certain direction. For example, okay, there are times where we are ministering here and I signal to Lady B or to Pastor Tino, I go this, or to Iman, and they know that they have to move this. But most times we're all praying. But I can give that, we can interact in the midst. We can have other interactions. Please hear me. We can have other interactions in the midst of the interaction. It is the understanding that has created that pathway. There's a way that I can understand God. Are we learning tonight? There's a way that I can understand God that in the midst of the busyness of life, me and Him still stand out. Prayer is that communion in the life of God. It's communion in the life. Prayer is partaking in the life of God. That's how we partake. Does that make sense? That's how we partake in the we don't put it this way. Apart from the grace God has given to us, we don't have anything to give God except that which He has given to us. But because He wants, now watch this, are you ready? Because He wants to fellowship, the word fellowship is an interesting word when you break it down, fellowship. Now, remember what I said, that God is on, in a class by himself. No one is on God's league, right? But for two people to have fellowship, their nature must be similar. Do you see that? Their nature must be similar. So now, or apart from, I have nothing to give God except that which is given to me. So that which is given to me is the capacity to love him. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, yeah. He gave me that capacity according to Romans chapter 5 verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Himself has given me that capacity, but he also gave me the ability to choose to use that capacity. And when I choose to use that capacity, that's when fellowship forms, because I bring something to the table. Are we making sense? Is this flowing? Right? He has given me the ability to use that. He's given me the choice to use that. So prayer is partaking in the life of God. It's sharing it. So that means every time I meet with God in prayer, we share life. Hey. So that's why there is no way that you can have an authentic conversation with God and you live deflated. Truly, when you have deep fellowship with God, authentic, you can't live deflated, because it's a life. You know, you have those friends where every time you greet each other, as soon as you greet, you're like, yeah, in a mando, beras gedade, keliando, katadaba. You start greeting yourself in tongues, basically. You start sharing. I have those friends. We start sharing revelation. You see that every time we meet God in prayer, it's a life sharing session. And every time we encounter that life, we glow. Yeah, we are transformed. Just as every time we live an inspired conversation, like I was telling you today, I had an inspired conversation on business, by the way. Basic, which means we're going to share the money. I'm joking. Okay, I had an inspired conversation with Dickie Daniel today. She was in my house. She came out glowing. You'd have thought they gave her money. It was an inspired conversation with someone that sharpened her. Every time we pray, we have an inspired conversation with the Holy Ghost. So our lack of inspiration is often a confirmation of the absence of our communion. I can't get close to him and I lack ideas. Come on. Am I making sense tonight? We're getting ready to pray. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after.
Running after me.
Please worship him, help me.
Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after.
Come on, lift your hands and declare that.
After me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. He's running out.
Come on, declare that he's a good, good father.
Hey. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. Hey. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me.
Lift your hands and declare that.
Hey.
Your good. Even before we were born, his goodness went ahead of us.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Your goodness
is running after. It's running after me.
One more time.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Jim Raste, we're about to pray, but let me put it this way. We're going to continue tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm dealing with the subject of faith. We want to pray now. Does that make sense? We really want to press in
Tomorrow dealing with the subject of faith. Are you seeing the build up? Hair shape. Can you see how the Holy Ghost is building it? All right. Now, so prayer is that partaking in the life of God. Prayer is that sharing in. So when I now understand that I have the life of God in me, when I understand that the life of God is at work in me, prayer is that interaction in the life of God. Does that make sense? Every conversation with God is life sharing. Christianity is not a lifestyle, and it's not a way of life. Yeah. It's life. Did you get it? It's not a lifestyle. Mm-mm. It's not a way of life. Mm-mm. There are ways of life. There are different ways of life. Does that make sense? And it's not a lifestyle. No. A lifestyle can be wrong. But life can never be wrong, because life is a person. His name is God. So prayer is spending time with life. To not spend time in prayer is to not interact with life. So heirs of God now begin to understand that there are higher purposes for prayer than just escaping a terrible season. Escape a terrible season to prayer if you need to. There are higher purposes for prayer than to just get money. Does that make sense? There are higher purposes for prayer. This is about communion, sharing. And that's why, David, that's what now makes praying without ceasing possible. Because praying without ceasing now is not a time that I set aside. No, it's a life that I live. What happens in my time of devotion in my secret place, what it should do is that it should strengthen my connection, that as I leave my house, I don't lose connection. What we learn with devotion is connect and then disconnect and then connect and then that's not life. Life is consistent. Oh, I could tell you about life. I think when we deal on faith, with prayers of faith, I'll show you that, for example, there are things that are superior to healing. Life is one of them. It is better for a person to continue in health than to be healed. Do you see that? It's better for a person to continue in health. If you are healthy, we don't need healing. If you're well and alive, life is superior in every sense. That's why when you look at the apostles, there were some things. It's not that they stop teaching them, they stop focusing on them, because they understood that once the church understands that we have Zoe, once we get it, once we understand it, there is nothing we'll be able to stand. Hey, the Christian is not poor, he's rich in who God is. Does that make sense? The Christian is not poor. Who is the Christian? One who is rich with the life of God. Rich, I didn't say rich with money, rich with the life of God. Rich with the life of God. Rich with the life of God's hair. Yeah. So tonight we want to pray. Are we still here? Can we still pray? All right. Tonight we want to pray along those lines. Prayer is one of the things I put here. I couldn't touch it. Is prayer is life administration. Yeah. Prayer is administering life. That's why sometimes we can say things like, I speak life. That's what prayer is. Prayer is living out of God's economy. Remember all I told you, that prayer begins with God. You pray not because God hasn't provided. You pray because God has provided. You pray because God already has a predetermined counsel. That's what inspires prayer. You pray because you understand there is already an inheritance. Prayer is the administration of inheritance. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness
is running after, is running after me.
Your goodness
is running after.
Even online, I want you to lift your hands and worship.
Your goodness is running after, is running after.
even as you navigate different seasons.
Your goodness is running after.
It's running after me.
Your goodness is running after.
It's running after me.
Lift your hands and worship it.
It's running after me.
Oh, your goodness is running after.
It's running after me.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Hey,
it's running after. It's running after me. Your goodness.
I want you to set your heart and your mind on him.
It's running after me.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after me.
All right, there were some things this week when I was meditating that the Lord wanted to address, and we'll address it in the light of this word. One of the things that this word should do is that it should affirm you as a son. Does that make sense? It should affirm you as a son of God. It should secure your confidence as a son of God. That's one of the things it should do. And one of the things that being a son of God does is that it should eliminate all fear. I remember I was in a service once and a preacher that I love, she said, fear is normal. I said, that's not the gospel. It can sound logical, it can sound correct, it can sound acceptable, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. So fear is abnormal to the believer. Are we together? Fear is abnormal to God's ear. There were some things the Lord laid on my mind. We're going to pray about those. I couldn't do that yesterday. There were some areas of fear that the Lord wanted to address. One of them is the unhealthy fear of God. The unhealthy fear of God. In other words, you're afraid that God will judge you. You're afraid that God will judge you. You're afraid that there's this, instead of like a loving fear, a loving reverence, there's this fear that, I don't know, maybe he can just take, you know, the rug from your feet. Just this unhealthy, are we here? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing has to be dealt with. What drove that? In the parable of the talents, what drove that servant to do what he did was his perception of his master. Are we here? There is the healthy fear of the Lord. The healthy fear of the Lord, the Bible says, the beginning of wisdom. One of the things the Lord wanted those who are navigating that to know is that because he has invested in you through Christ. The Bible says, God who did not spare his only son, how will he not with him give us all things? He, if anything, he has invested in you. Jesus is God's best. Jesus is God's everything. He put his everything down for you. When you believe that, there's no going back. The unhealthy fear of God. The second category of fear we're going to deal with is the fear of evil. It's this fear that it's like something bad is just going to happen. Can you identify that? It's like there's a fear of evil. It's like a constant anticipation of evil. It's a fear of evil that something bad is going to happen. If something doesn't, it may be your health. It may be. Yeah, listen, sonship. In sonship, there is no fear.
Oh. split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk. Find your joy again. Hey. Drowned in perfect. All that I want you to declare, you rescued me so I can stand and sing.
You rescued me so I can stand and sing.
Hey.
I am a child of God.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it.
Hey.
Drowned in perfect love,
you rescued me.
You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child.
All right, you split the sea again. Let's sing it with conviction.
You split the sea so I could walk right through.
Cabanso valene peris cabande.
Imperfect love.
You rescued me so I could stand and sing.
You rescued me so I can stand and sing.
I am
a child of God.
Yeah, we're gonna deal with that. I want you to hold that. Another one is the fear of man. The fear of man. We got to deal with that. Yeah, no fear. Look at your neighbor. Say, you will not be fearful because you're a son. You're a son. The fear of man can cause you to lose the fear of God. Yeah, the fear of man can cause you to disobey God. The fear of man can cause you to debate the commandments and the direction of God. The fear of man can restrict you in purpose. Walk right through it.
My fears are thrown in
imperfect love. You rescued me.
You rescued me so I can stand and sing.
I am a child
of God.
Oh, you split the sea. Come on, everyone. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. Hey,
my fears are drowned in perfect love.
You rescued me so I can stand and sing.
You rescued me so I can stand and sing.
I am
a child.
Come on, everyone, again. You split the sea so I could walk right through it.
You split the sea so I could walk right through.
Oh, I want you to imagine yourself. I want you to imagine yourself walking through like Peter walked on water.
So I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Hey, you split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through.
My face were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand.
You rescued me so I can stand.
And
I am a child of God.
The last one we're going to deal with is the fear of the future. We're going to begin to pray. I'm just stirring your spirit. Hey, the heir of God should have no fear about the future, because your future is about his predetermined counsel. Does that make sense? Your future has been planned in him. Your future is really a subject of inheritance. Do you know what your future holds? Growing up into the image of Jesus. That's what your future holds. Do you know what your future holds? God's plan for you is to reach the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Your future is bright in him. Hey, listen, when you're operating in Zoe, you don't calculate with human tendencies. Does that make sense? Zoe is the life of God, the happenings of God, the realities of God. A child
Word of God. You split the sea. Come on, church. Let's rise to our feet. You split the sea so I could walk right. Some of you even need to walk right now. I drowned in perfect love. You rescued me. Come on, church. Hey. You rescued me so I can. Online, I want you to prophesy this. I am a child. Hey, you split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk. I want you to say it with authority. My face were drowning. You rescued me. You rescued me. Nothing dies in His presence. Nothing dies in His presence. You split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk
right through. All face were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand.
You rescued me so I can stand.
These are songs of freedom. Souls are free. Souls are free. Come on, let's lift up our voices in this house. You split the sea. So I could walk right. Oh, my face, all your fears drowned on the cross. Hey, you rescued me. Come on, come on, Zion. Oh, Lord, I want you to sing with us wherever you are.
You split the sea so I can walk right.
my fears to drown. Yeah, oh, you rescued me. Of God, oh, you split the sea,
you split.
Hey, Adabra Galabande, I say, yeah, see my feet are drowned. Yeah, La Palante, oh, you rescued me, say,
you rescued me, so yeah, I'm a
sinner. I am a child of God. Oh, single, oh, 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 oh. Come on, let's hurry. Say, oh, 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 out of your belly, sing, oh. This life
that I have,
it is the life of Christ. It's the life of Christ. Zoe,
Zoe, Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
Zoe,
this life that I have
is the life of God.
Life of God in me.
This life
that I have
is alive.
Is alive.
Come on, shall we release a shout?
This life that I have is alive.
Yeah, this is prayer. We are agreeing with God.
This life that I have
is alive.
Is alive of Christ.
This hope. This hope that I have, hey, is the hope of God in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory
that I have
is the hope
of God.
This joy that I have is the joy of God in me.
This joy that I have
is the joy.
Is the joy of God.
This life
that I have is the life of Christ in me.
This life
that I have
is the life.
Is the life.
Come on, church.
Zoe.
Zoe. There is no depression in
Zoe.
There is freedom in Zoe. Where is the freedom in this house? Zoe.
Zoe,
we're getting ready to close. Zoe, as we release this in the name of Jesus, we are administering the life that is in His name. The life that is in His name. These are not just songs. This is a statement of faith. This is our faith that we are professing. Hey, Zoe, I have Zoe, I have Zoe,
I have Zoe,
I have Zoe,
I have
Zoe,
you have
Zoe,
you have Zoe,
Zoe.
Zoe,
in your health, Zoe, in your family,
Zoe,
over your mind, Zoe, in your mind, Zoe,
the life,
Zoe.
Zoe.
Keep the rhythm. I'm gonna leave you here for tonight. Tomorrow we're here. Tomorrow is faith. We're dealing with faith. Zoe.